Welcome back to the show. I'm Todd Zwillick, in for John Hockenberry today. Well, a soccer ball is the most recognizable symbol of sports in the entire world, a symbol of teamwork and unity and really the power of perseverance. Well, there are billions of soccer fans worldwide, most of them living in developing countries. Well, to kids in poor neighborhoods or refugee camps, the sport really is a lifeline. And unlike, say, baseball, you don't need big teams or fancy equipment to get a game going. You just need an open space and a ball. So every year, thousands of soccer balls are donated to the developing world by relief agencies. There's just one problem. These balls go flat, often within a day. So what if you could make a ball that never went flat and had the capacity and durability to last not days, not weeks, but decades? Well, that's the idea behind One World Football, a ball made out of pop foam, the same material as those Croc sandals. Tim Yonigan is the founder of the One World Football Project. Lisa Tarver is the co-founder. Tim dedicated years of his life to creating the world's most durable soccer ball, and we spoke about why he felt called to this mission.
It landed square in the middle of my consciousness the minute I saw children in Darfur living in horrendous conditions, suffering through extraordinary trauma. And it was explained that play was the only therapy that worked. And suddenly, like a thunderbolt, it just hit me that I already knew about this material that was incredibly durable. And I had a vision that instantly told me exactly how to use that material.
Lisa Tarver, Tim felt like he had no choice. He saw that children had no other way to live, essentially, at least live with some happiness, except to have durable soccer balls. Building it is one thing. Coming up with the idea is one thing. Distributing hundreds of thousands or tens of thousands of soccer balls to far-flung places around the world is quite another, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's definitely had its challenges, and they're wonderful challenges to have because we know that we're getting the ball to children who can most benefit from it and are the most in need. And because the ball doesn't deflate, it never needs a pump and it never goes flat, so that means we ship it round, and so we ship a lot of air. But it's all worth it because the ball is getting to kids who need to have that opportunity to play and have so little to enjoy.
Tim Yonigan, what does it take to destroy one of your soccer balls? Not truly indestructible, so what does it really take? More than a kid could muster? Or,
well, actually, children who can easily replace their toys could easily destroy this ball if they wanted to. But it wasn't designed to be driven over and stabbed multiple times every day. It was designed for the harshest environments to let children play. So when it's used as it was meant for, it can last literally decades. We've seen cases where lions have been chewing on these balls for 2 years and they're still not able to destroy them completely.
So, Tim, what does it feel like when you drop this ball down on the ground with kids who don't have a functioning soccer ball and a game starts? What does that feel like?
Well, I have to say that it is truly one of the most rewarding and extraordinary things to witness, because we generally focus on games as in terms of the rules, and we look at statistics on athletes' performance. But when you drop a ball on the ground and you step back, and these children who it is their very purpose for existing. I mean, science proves that play is the very foundation of our ability to communicate and to adapt to our environment. When you see them, they are craving it. That you see a joy that is unleashed, that is, it is just indescribable. It is the most rewarding thing, and it's just transcendent. So we get this feedback constantly, and it is just our great privilege for us to be able to support this fundamental human need that's as important as food, medicine, and shelter.
And you've done it in Rwanda. Where else?
Well, we've gotten balls to almost 150 countries and all 50 states in various numbers. We've had incredibly generous support from individuals who are already going to these places, from Peace Corps, Partners in Health, Doctors Without Borders, and we have several other organizations that we partner with, and there's virtually nowhere a ball's not appropriate. So it doesn't matter if it's a medical mission, an education mission, or a peace mission. We've worked with organizations in every corner of the world, just supporting all the best work that the people on the ground there are attempting to do, and that's also an extraordinary privilege for us.
Lisa Tarver, I know that you've probably had the experience of putting one of your extra durable soccer balls in front of a former child soldier or somebody with no prospects in life and instead saw that they were an incredibly talented footballer?
Absolutely. Actually, a few months ago, I was in El Salvador delivering One World Footballs, and I lived in El Salvador in the 90s for 5 years. You know, when I lived there, day in and day out, would see children in, you know, living in cardboard shacks and or homeless or with, you know, begging on the street or virtually no prospects in their life. And so to be able to go back a few months ago and visit some of these communities where kids have virtually nothing and many times can't even go to school because in order to go to public school in El Salvador, you have to be able to buy a uniform. And if you can't afford to buy a uniform and shoes, you can't attend school. So we go to, for example, in one community that we went to visit, and we asked all the kids to bring out what they currently use to play soccer. And kids brought out balls, if you can call them that, that were flat, had no cover on them. You know, all the leather was torn and worn off, or a little plastic ball or something they had made. And they pretty much all looked like that. And so when we showed them the One World Football and showed them that it could squish down flat and then come right back to round, they were just like, for them, it was like magic. They were fascinated with it, but what they really wanted was to play. So they started to play, and there was a couple of the kids who were untrained. They had been playing in their community, but were clearly extraordinarily talented soccer players and natural gift. And so to see these kids and to think that, wow, these kids actually now will have a ball that they can play with as long as they want to play, and they can keep training and practicing, and they can have the hope of, you know, even if they don't become a professional player, having that hope opens up so many doors because they can then envision a future that's different from what they have now.
Well, there is a kid out there in the world who will become a professional footballer because they got to play with one of your balls. But more than that, there are probably thousands of kids who are just getting to play because of you guys. That's Tim Yonigan, founder of the One World Football Project. His co-founder, Lisa Tarver, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Todd.
We thank you very much, and we wish you all a great game ahead in life.